The room stank of bitter medicine. Curiously heavy things, guns. Why did I take it exactly? Can't say. An intuition. A sense of significance. That from this point on, there was no going back.
Beef and cheddar for lunch, and then I had La Rosa's for dinner.
Beef and cheddar.
I think we're ready here.
Yeah, let's do this, Danny.
Before we run out of shit.
Are we good? Are you recording? Is this on?
Hello. We are recording.
Did you get the part?
I believe it's on.
Where I was talking about beef and cheddar and La Rosa's.
These headphones are officially dead, I believe. I don't hear anybody.
What?
I don't hear anybody in headphones.
We turned your headphone and your mics off. That we just didn't want you to know, but we turned your mic
off. Wait.
This is episode 99.
There we go. There we go.
99 of a Nintendo Dreamcast. Welcome, avid.
Welcome.
Constant listeners.
Sorry about the delay.
Yeah. Real life sucks. Everybody's all busy and shit and poor and time starved. It's okay.
We had to switch the day we recorded it, and it took us a while to figure out that we needed to do that. So
just one more episode until episode 100, Jean-Claude Van Damme-a-thon. With special guest, I am happy to announce, Jean-Claude Van Damme will be on the show. I've contacted him via email. He will Skype in. We got this.
Also, James's waiter from last week will be here.
Yeah.
Yep.
I went out to eat last night, and the waiter, I was wearing a Star Wars shirt. And he was like, oh, hey, do you like Star Wars? I was like, yeah. He's like, do you like Jean-Claude Van Damme? Because I just watched Kickboxer, and they're making a new Kickboxer, and Jean-Claude Van Damme's going to come back on it. It's going to be awesome. Also, the original villain, I forget his name. He's like, he's going to be back too, but he's going to be mentoring a new villain, blah, blah, blah. Do you like Bloodsport? I was like, whoa. I was like, yeah, I mean, I don't know how Star Wars led into, like,
yeah.
I think he just had been thinking so hard about Jean-Claude Van Damme all day that he saw a t-shirt that related to a movie, and so that was, like, his chance. He's like, this is good. He's like, I've been waiting all day for somebody to come in with a Jean-Claude Van Damme shirt on. Not going to happen. I'm going to take my opportunity right here.
No, he's in Kindergarten Cop too, right?
Jean-Claude Van Damme is not in Kindergarten Cop.
No, this is
two. Sequel. He said two.
I don't believe so. I think that does that even exist?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ah, man, I don't.
Well, I've never
don't
seen
know.
It
unless I dreamed it. I swear to God, he was.
That does sound like a dream.
Yeah.
Kindergarten.
I don't
Cop
think it's.
Two.
I would say if anything, it's like Dolph Lundgren because he needs work.
I think it might be Dolph Lundgren. But now that you mention it,
I honestly don't even know that movie exists. So.
It does. I just saw it on some streaming service. I think it was...
It came out this year, or it is coming out this year.
It's already out, I'm pretty sure. It's on Amazon Video.
Ooh, that's what I watch at work during the day. So
it's
maybe
Dolph
I check it out.
Lundgren.
Is it really Dolph Lundgren?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm amazing.
4.3 out of 10 on IMDb. 29% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's a lot higher than I thought it would be. If we're being honest. Well, cool. Yeah. So what have you guys been playing for the past year that we haven't podcasted? Let's start with Ish.
The only game I've played is a video game. My roommate got it in the mail from Gamefly. It's called Alcaheen's Gun. It's set in the Cold War era. I played a little bit of it. It's a shoot 'em up. Kind of fun.
What system is this on?
Xbox One.
What's it called?
Alcaheen's, A-L-K-E-H-I-N-E-S, Gun.
Does he have like some weird like?
He has some weird list
Lithuanian Gamefly.
Yeah. He got that in the mail, and like I just saw Gamefly laying there, so I opened it up. It was that. I put it in, installed it, and it sort of reminds me of Wolfenstein style type shooter. Kind of looks good. I didn't expect it to look that good, and it played just like a regular shooter. Played about 20 minutes of it.
So you didn't play anything good, didn't know? I looked at it. Anyway, yeah. I put it into the Xbox and turned it on. Jeez.
The only reason I did that because I didn't know what it was. I'd never heard of it, so I had to check it out.
What'd you play, Danny?
I think last time we held, we talked, I had just finished playing Batman Arkham Knight.
Yeah.
And I found out that when Dark Souls 3 came out, they put Dark Souls on Xbox One backwards compatibility. Mm-hmm. So I basically went out the next day and went and bought Dark Souls. And I played through the entire game. It took me about 2.5 weeks to finish it with like my timeline of coming up here 4 or 5 times a week.
How did you finish that game so fast?
But when I knew I was near the end, I went out to GameStop again and bought Dark Souls 2. And I've played through part of that. I actually haven't played that in a couple of days now, though, because I've been coming up to the store all weekend. And Overwatch just came out, so I didn't have any time to myself last night either. It's just that I have like 2 different groups of friends that are playing Overwatch on PC. I have like my usual group of PC gamers, but now I have like Mickey and Ward jumping up my butt trying to play with me too.
How do you like Overwatch?
I think it's pretty good. I've never been a huge fan of first-person shooters to begin with, and I suck at the game, to be perfectly honest. There's no radar in it, which I'm not used to in a first-person shooter for the most part. So I easily just get snuck up on and murdered and all this great crap.
Oh, so you have 2 phones. Is one of those your drug phones or for your bitches?
No, I just bought a new phone because I was up for an upgrade. My old phone still worked, but some parts in the screen were like dead, so it was hard to use some of the games that I played. But I didn't want it still like works for most purposes, so I just I'm still transferring some of the stuff over to my new phone, but I've found out I can still play like phone games on Wi-Fi and stuff like that on my own phone. So I was planning on just leaving it around my house so I can just play phone games around my house without having to kill my new phone's battery, since that's exactly what happened to my old phone, is that I played Marvel Puzzle Quest on it nonstop for like 6 months, and by the time it was like a year old, the battery life on it was just abysmal.
Wow.
Well, so you like your new phone?
Yeah.
What kind did you get?
I got my original phone was an LG G2. So I just went for an LG G5. I had an interesting experience at the Verizon store, though. 2 years ago, I feel like they would do anything to get you to sign a 2-year contract with them. Like when last time I bought my phone, my G2, it was only one generation behind. I think the G3 was coming out in 2 weeks when I bought my old phone. And they gave me that phone for $50 as long as I signed up for a 2-year contract. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was what the play was going to be this time. So I come in and I'm like, I have an upgrade. I'm looking for a new phone. What kind of deals are you running? And they're like, oh, we don't really have any deals unless you want to add a new line. I'm like, well, that sucks. But what am I looking at paying for a phone if I want to like do a new contract? And he's like, oh, don't do a contract. We're doing device payment plans now. So
yeah, that's how it is.
Yeah. I was like, what does that mean? I'm like, he's like, yeah, you just pay for the phone over the course of like 2 years. I'm like, I have enough to buy it now. Isn't there like a pay $300 just to get it now thing? He's like, let me go in the back and see it. See what I think. It was kind of like, you know how like when you're buying a car, they go like, let me talk to my manager and see what we can like draw up for you.
Yeah.
And so he comes out, he offers me like 3 different plans. He's like, here's what it would be if you got a 2-year contract and just bought the phone. And it was like, I was paying $400 up front. And it was like my bill went up by like $30 a month or something like that. Because apparently they not only not want you to sign a new contract, it's actually they give you a credit if you're not in a contract with them, which I don't understand the least bit. I tried to get him to explain it to me, and he's like, yeah, only really businesses use contracts anymore because they help facilitate like upgrades and stuff like that. I'm like, okay, it makes no sense. The other plan he came up with is, he's like, look, this is what we're going to do. If you do the device payment plan, your monthly bill will not change because like the credit and the $26 a month or whatever I have to pay off a phone, cancel each other out. And he's like, but if you if you like buy $200 worth of phone accessories today, you'll get an extra like $5 off your bill a month. If I didn't get the accessories, my bill would go up like by $10. And if I did, it'd be like $10 less than it. So it was like a $20 difference. I did the math in my head. I'm like, that would be, I'm paying like $200 to get like $300 and something off the phone. And he's like, yeah, basically. I'm like, all right, what do you got? And he's like, because I was planning on getting a phone case anyways, which would be like $50. And he's like, well, most people buy like a phone case, glass protector.
So we got that Fitbit
charger. Yeah, he's like car charger and Beats mobile headphones. I'm like, I am not fucking getting Beats mobile headphones.
How much do
Beats mobile headphones cost? And he's like $100. I'm like $100 for Beats mobile headphones. And then I was like in the store. I'm like, you guys sell Fitbits, right? How much is a Fitbit? And he's like, about $100. Can you fucking Fitbit instead of stupid ass Beats mobile headphones.
Oh, you could wear them around your neck, man.
I know. I can say Danny Rockets some Beats by Dre at his workout classes.
Oh my God.
They're not Beats by Dre.
It was the headbutts.
Oh.
Beats mobile.
Oh.
Like the
$100 for earbuds?
Oh yes. $100 for earbuds.
They're Bluetooth, right?
They might have been Bluetooth. Okay. I don't give a shit. I'm not going to buy $100 earbuds.
Good grief.
That's ridiculous.
I did my last phone. I go through AT&T, and it was like I did the 18-month plan. And so I went in because my phone was like just sucked. It just was dying. So I went in, and they're like, I was like, can I get an upgrade? And they're like, well, yeah, we don't do upgrades. And they're like, your phone's been paid for a long time, though. I was like, oh. I was like, I guess I'll just get a new one. That was that. It's pretty easy. I played. My bill didn't change at all, and I just gave them like $50. So, yeah. I don't know what I bought. I didn't do that math. But got a new phone, paid $50. I was satisfied.
T-Mobile, you can just upgrade whenever you want.
On the downside, though, it's hard to make phone calls when you don't have service anywhere.
Plenty of service.
Whatever. So I actually have had time to play some video games lately, which is awesome. I started playing the Wasteland Murder Simulator again. So I've been playing a lot of Fallout.
Good.
A lot of Fallout. I got to the point where you have to pick sides, which I was like, bleh. So I ran away from that quest as hard as I could. And so I did the Silver Shroud quest, and then I'm got to Gun Nut 4 so I can put silencers on all my weapons, so now I just sneak around the wasteland and kill things silently.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
It's too bad they fixed that headshot bug.
I didn't know it existed.
That's nice.
What'd it do?
Let you get like a 95% chance on hitting someone's head, like no matter where you are.
If you have the character perk for the Institute guy.
Yeah.
I don't have any perks because I'm any of the character perks because I took Wasteland Loner or whatever. So every now and then I'll come across a person and they're like, we will join you. And I'm like, oh yeah, sure. See this place on the map. You go wait there for me. I'll be there later. I found the super mutant. I was very tempted, but if I took him as a companion, I would lose like 50% damage. So I was like, yeah,
I need to do
too late
this quest.
In the game. Too late in the game for that. I started a new game just to do the new Survivor mode or whatever. But then I was like, I have to finish the other game before I start this. So, but I think when I do another playthrough, I'll be companion guy.
You can change difficulty anytime you want, can't you?
You can't turn on the Survivor mode, though. You know, it was just patched in like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you can't change the game mode. But Far Harbor looks awesome.
Yeah, it does.
I'd like to play that. I figure my whole new playthrough, I'll do the DLC and stuff, because I haven't played any of the DLC at all. But, yeah, I like it. It's such a good game. So much to do, though. I think I hate the Minutemen more than anybody, but at this point, I have to pick a side. And I'm like, the Brotherhood is still clearly, or like, the Wasteland fascist. I mean, there will be order, but there's going to kill a lot of people, and probably start some horrible like 1,000-year like Eighth Reich. Institute are just retarded people. Like, I don't understand how they function this long and how they're still alive and they're like utopian society underground. I'm like, oh, come on, Jesus Christ, if you guys are this smart, there's really a million things you could have figured out by now.
Plus, it just murder, like, living things like those.
Yeah, I was actually going to side with the Institute, and then I was talking to Nick Valentine, well, people. So I had to go get something from Sanctuary, and he was walking around. He's like, can I talk to you? And he was telling me about how they, like 20 years ago, everybody in the Commonwealth decided to make, like, a Commonwealth, like, centralized government. And they had this meeting, and then the Institute sent a synth in with a bomb strapped to its chest and murdered everyone.
Yep.
And at that point, I was like, you know what? Fuck these guys.
No son of mine.
Yeah. I just don't see how you rationalize, like, picking the Institute. They're fucking, like, crazy people. So I was like, you know what? What about the railroad? And they walked in the railroad and saw, like, the emaciated black dude with, like, a tin can strapped to his head. And I'm like, yeah, no. Just turn around. So,
yeah, geez,
congratulations, Preston Gravy. You are the least worst out of all the fucking worst people in the world.
That's kind of how I felt. They were the best choice out of a bunch of shitty choices.
I wish, like, that's one thing I liked about New Vegas was there was a play the house option where you, like,
I'm taking over.
Yeah, you killed Mr. House and, like, took over and, like, you did your own thing, which I wish there was an option where you could just be like, yeah, fuck everybody.
Yeah.
Because I built the, the transmitter. I built it on my own because I had, like, 10 intelligence and, like, my science is super high.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you can build it on your own. You don't have to, like...
break into the Institute?
Yeah. So, like,
I did not know that.
So I just built it on my own and went, well, you still have to break into the Institute to get, like, pieces. But, you know, they're like, all right, you have all the pieces for the transmitter. You can go talk to the railroad or you can go talk to the Brotherhood of Steel and they'll help you finish it. Or if you have high enough, you can go and build it on your own, which I did. So I just built it in my truck stop.
Is that where your base is, the truck stop?
Yep. I guess I'm an army of one. I don't have any followers or whatever.
I wanted to build a giant mansion, so I had to move my base to that town, Sanctuary Hills.
Oh, did you? I built giant metal walls just around the truck stop, and then you open the door and there's like a metal hallway that leads to the truck stop, and then it's just filled with shotgun turrets. And then I have like 8 pieces of power armor in the garage, and then I made my bed in the little office area. It's got Jangles the Moon Monkey in there and my computer so I can play, you know, computer games. Pretty sweet.
Nice.
Yeah, I played that, and then I played some Overwatch, like the beta. Haven't paid for the game yet, but I like the beta a lot. It seemed pretty cool. I could see it, but all my people that I would play with are like, oh, we didn't do it on the PC, even though we have Xboxes, James.
It came out today, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it on computer. It actually came out yesterday, because the servers went live 4 p.m.
Oh, could you not play it on the time? You couldn't play on...
Well, the game wasn't being sold yet.
Not even on the Xbox Store.
You might if there was a digital download for Xbox, you might have been able to play it on Xbox.
There was, because I got on for a minute and like went to the store and they're like, this game goes live in like an hour.
Yeah,
but it's really good. You know, it's a Blizzard game. It'll be good regardless.
Yep.
How about you, Matt?
I played a game called Shantae: Risky's Revenge.
Oh my God,
it's a fucking classic game. It's not even like unheard of by most people.
So. I've never heard of it.
My fault. What you guys is it don't on? Know about good games.
What was it on?
Originally, it was on DSiWare for the original DS. Yeah,
originally, like DSiWare is a valid platform back in the day.
It's on the Nintendo DS. Okay,
yeah, it was a companion release with WarioWare.
It's made by WayForward. They're really big game company.
What?
What have they made?
I don't know. Other shit.
No, they haven't.
Yeah, they have.
No, they haven't. We're just kidding.
Wait for it. They're super well known. I just can't think of what else they made.
Is the recorder still recording?
Yeah. It's still going.
Is it still full power?
Yeah, it's still full power.
You just plug it in the wall, man.
Yeah, it might have just needed like a jolt like to get the...
kick started.
I don't know how electricity works. But yeah, it's a really good game. It's kind of like a cross between like Mega Man and Metroid. You play this hot genie chick who like hits things with her hair and has like can transform into a monkey and an elephant and a mermaid. and you use those the powers of all three animals to like navigate around different areas.
What hipster drug fueled studio did this come out of?
Way Forward.
Like, oh man, what if we could turn into an elf? No man, a mermaid. Whoa. What if it was a genie that could do a mermaid and an elephant?
It's all like super super cute like anime sprites.
Yeah. You know you can only fold paper 7 times ish.
Yeah, heard that.
Sorry, Ish is folding paper. That's how interested he is in this podcast. Jeez.
No, I'm just lollygagging.
Do you see where they did the hydraulic press machine and tried to fold a piece of paper 8 times?
Did they really?
Yeah. Guess what? Didn't work.
Broke the hydraulic press.
They did Contra 4, A Boy and His Blob.
Contra 4?
Uh-huh. Yeah, what about Contra 1?
Contra
man?
4 was a good game. They did that Double Dragon remake.
Or when you say Boy and His Blob, do you mean like the original Boy and His Blob?
No,
like
the remake that just came out not too long ago. They did DuckTales Remastered, that one.
Hobbs beat me to it, asshole.
Drawn to Life.
Oh, somebody say Mad Max.
What?
Just say Mad Max.
Mad Max.
Not going to do it, Ish. Not going to do it. Not going to fucking do it.
Hey, that was the funniest episode. Danny was cracking up.
Anyway, made a bunch of good shit.
Are you passing notes? Is there a note on this? Did you write anything?
Well, you go study with me. Check yes or no.
Anyway, it's a really good game. I played through the whole thing, beat the whole thing from beginning to end.
How long is it?
It was about 20, 30 hours. Not super long. Damn. But, yeah.
Is it like a platformer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like Metroid. 30-hour
platformer?
No, 25, 30 hours if you're me.
Yeah.
There's like lots of places to explore, and like you got to like find heart containers and shit like that.
You find upgrades and special powers.
You can upgrade your animal powers. Like the monkey has like a bullet power where he like, shoot off of walls into enemies and shit.
What does the mermaid's power do?
Like, she shoots these giant bubbles.
So, two animals and then a half animal, half person?
I don't know. Because I guess there's not really many, like, aquatic animals you can turn into
like
that are attractive. Or, I don't know. The elephant isn't attractive, though.
Well, I'd fuck a dolphin.
You'd fuck a dolphin?
Yeah, probably.
Dolphin would fuck you. They're rapists.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm talking about as far as like aquatic animals, if I had to pick one to have sex with, I'd probably go with a dolphin.
Yeah.
Maybe a killer whale, but it might kill me.
A dolphin would have made more sense. I don't know. They went with a mermaid for some reason.
Echo the Dolphin. That was a good game. They should have they done a remake of that?
Yeah, I think Sega's tried to bring that back several times.
I like the swordfish from Donkey Kong.
Yep.
Danny's thinking about what he'd fuck.
I'd fuck that swordfish from Donkey Kong.
Well, you've seen him. He was like, rant.
I also played the PS4 version of Zombie U. That was like a free game a couple of months ago.
There's a PS4 version of Zombie U.
Zombo.
It's a good game. It's like, it's super engaging.
Is it on Railsy? Like,
No. It's a totally open world. Pretty much.
Speaking of free games, the Xbox Live Games for Gold coming up next month looks pretty good, but they're doing this thing now where going forward, starting in June, all the Xbox Games for Gold, all the 360 ones are games that are playable on the Xbox One, so you actually get 4 games for free a month.
Yeah.
Oh. XCOM and Super Meat Boy are the Xbox 360 ones, but you can just get on your Xbox One and download them. So that's pretty cool.
Nice.
4 free games.
You know what the Xbox One ones are?
Nothing that I was excited about because I was really excited to play XCOM on the 7th system at this point.
Is that what got you in the mood for the board game the other day?
No, actually, I just saw that today. The board game, we were just running out of games to play, so I grabbed that one at random. Nice. It was pretty good.
I like that game.
It's fun.
We played it on my birthday here.
It's called The Board.
Oh, my God. It's The Crew and Goat Simulator.
Oh, good grief.
Goat Simulator is good.
Nice. This month, I think for PS4, it was Tropico 5. So,
yeah, boy.
Not much better. Which I also played, and it's fucking terrible. It's like, it tries to be like Civilization, but it's not anywhere near as fun.
Speaking of which, you see Civilization 6?
No one's that out.
Civ 6, November.
Soon. Yeah. This year.
Not a big fan of the look of the game, but the rules seem really cool, so we'll see. Maybe they've updated, like the graphics just seemed a step backwards. It looked very Civ Revolution and Civ.
Oh, I think I like Civ Rev.
Yeah. I love Civ Rev.
Have you played Civ 5? Just the
yeah.
I love the graphics.
Civ Rev is like Civ Lite, though, isn't it?
Yeah. I just thought, like, the graphics wise, it's very cartoony.
Just gets rid of like a bunch of the tedious crap, like.
Like all the things that make the game interesting, Matt.
Yeah, I guess.
Why don't you just go play Settlers of Catan?
Yeah, jeez.
Is that like a board game?
Yeah. The worst board game ever. People always that and goddamn Munchkin. People always like get those games. And they just go.
I have Catan in the car right now. If you'd like to play it, guys.
Good. So,
and I bought the remake of Ocarina of Time for the 3DS.
It was like
$20. So
I've heard of that.
Yeah, finally a game Danny's heard of.
I've heard of that.
You heard of Zombie U too?
Yeah, Zombie U.
You should have heard of Shantae.
It's called Shantae.
Shantae. Yeah, it's about this hot half genie chick and
That game.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You whip people with your blue hair.
I've never really heard the name of the game out loud, but yeah. I know the blue genie girl, whatever.
Yeah.
Blue haired genie girl.
So those were originally on Game Boy Color. They made the DS one. There's one on PS4 and every other platform now. I haven't played yet. I'm going to play that one next when I get some money. So that's it for me.
Money.
Anybody do anything cool or watch anything cool lately?
Sure I have. It's been a month.
Yeah. The movie this week is The Visit by M. Night Shyamalan, because I watched that.
Shyamalan.
We're talking about that. Not really. That's it. I guess you can't really talk about a movie with a twist on a podcast. That's new, right? That'd be a dick move.
Did everybody watch Cloud Atlas?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I watched that like 3 weeks ago.
All right, let's do it. Cloud Atlas. Take us away.
The true.
You speak of the true.
All right. So I will do a plot synopsis of this movie, but it's impossible to do the plot synopsis and the actual order that the movie does it in.
No, please try.
Oh my god,
please try.
Opens up. So Cloud Atlas is like a compilation of actually, like, let me think, is it five stories?
Five or six. You got the, like, you got the 1800s, you got the guy in the 70s,
you got the guy, no, before that there's the composer who's in like the early 1900s.
Yeah.
And then you have the guy in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have,
I remember Chinese future,
the Japanese Chinese future. And like, so it's five stories. It's the true story.
The old guy, right? Did you say him? The old guy escaping from the retirement home?
Oh yeah, there is six stories. So the old guy is escaping from the retirement home. So the six stories kind of go like this. The first one takes place in the 1800s, and it's a Englishman or some sort of European travels to America to
Mr.
get
Mr. Ewing, I think his name was.
Yeah, Mr. Ewing. Or Mr. Yeah, it was like Mr. Yu, because that's what the black guy always kind of like, Mr. Yu. He travels to America because he needs someone there to sign a contract. Before going further, I actually thought most of the plot points were super confusing because they just like lightly breeze over so much stuff that I don't really, because they like in the 1800s one, it's evident that he went to get someone to sign a contract.
Wasn't it his father-in-law or something?
Well, his father-in-law sent him.
Oh, okay.
To get a contract signed by someone in America. And it was for like a church or something like that, or a pastor who had to sign the contract or something like that. But he eats dinner with the pastor and they have like a slave and they talk about how black people are idiots and that they enjoy serving white people and stuff like that. Very racist sort of 1800s, you know. But all of the slaves have like really indigenous tattoos on their eyes and stuff like that. Just, I think, supposed to like harken forward to like the sixth plot story where everyone has those tattoos again. I'm not really sure. Mr. Yu passes out while he's like examining the fields and wakes up on a boat back to Europe. And he doesn't wake up on a boat back to Europe, but he meets a doctor while he's in America, played by Tom Hanks. And the doctor tells him he has a parasitic worm and that he's battled this particular beast before, so he'll help him through the parasite and gets on the ship with him back to Europe. And it turns out that a black man's a black slave's stows away on the boat, and he trusts Mr. Ewing, and he begs him not to reveal that he's a stowaway and stuff like that. Yeah, but Mr. Ewing, after giving him food for a couple of nights, decides that he has to tell the captain that there's a stowaway on board. But the black guy claims to be a very apt sailor. So Mr. Ewing believes that if he tells the captain will just hire him as a sailor, and that they will that everything will work out all right, and he won't have to keep hiding him forever, because he keeps getting more and more sick, and he doesn't know how what he can do to help this guy if he gets too sick to get up and get him food. So they drag him out on board, and the captain tells him to lower the sail. And they plan on just shooting him once he climbs up to the top because he's a stowaway. But he like monkeys up there like super quick.
Oh, poor man. Choice of words. Oh,
they call him that. He's like they say he's got like monkey's feet. The sailors say he's got monkey's feet because he's like gripping onto the mast as he's walking.
I know, man. It's just.
But he's able to like run across the masts, and he's like at the same time like stringing the rope through all the hooks he needs to and stuff like that, and he unveils a mast by jumping off and just swinging that back down onto the boat. The entire time the captain had this guy with a gun pointed at him, and he's just like waiting for his command to shoot the guy, but eventually the captain kind of goes like, well, this is actually kind of interesting. He's doing this really well. The guy still shoots, but Mr. Ewing manages to knock the gun out of his hand before he actually gets a clear shot. And the black guy gets to stay on as a sailor for be doing so well. But that's when Mr. Ewing makes a really bad turn, and the doctor keeps feeding him medicine, but he just keeps getting sicker and sicker. And then one stormy night, the doctor reveals to him that he's been poisoning him the entire time to get the gold that he has stored in his chest with the contract. And just as he's about to like give the last lethal dose, the black guy comes in, and the doctor tries to shoo him away. But then he kind of figures out that there's something wrong going on here. And they start to fight. And Mr. Ewing eventually gets out of bed and smashes the chest on the back of his head, and it spills gold all over the place. When he gets back to Europe, he meets with his father-in-law and throws the contract into the fire. I think it must have had something to do with a slave trade or something like that. Now that I think about it, there's something he didn't like something about his father-in-law after this black man saves his life.
I think his dad was like wrote a bunch of like influential literature that Southerners were reading about how the black man was inferior.
Oh, that's right. Now I remember that conversation.
But I don't know what the contract had to do with that. I think maybe it was like a contract for him to help write books or something, or yeah, help publish books.
But they do. But then you meet his wife, and it's he tells the father-in-law that he is taking their daughter and moving out, and they're going to be joining the abolitionists to try to abolish slavery. At this point, this is like at the very end of the movie, so you know a lot about what every other story that's going on. But there is a story that takes place in like the near future, or maybe 100 years in the future, where there's like kind of like genetically cloned Asian people that run all of the stores and stuff like that. And then the main character is this Asian woman, and it turns out that the Cloud Atlas reuses a lot of the actors for the six different stories. And one of the ones they reuse is like the 1800s white, pro black slavery daughter is the Asian girl. So that's kind of funny. And another thing about all six stories is that they all prominently feature a kind of, falling star birthmark somewhere on everyone's body. It's just, I guess it's how they explain the stories are tied together, like love travels through time and stuff like that. I don't know. Yeah. I never it was really hard to get some of the underlying themes that I'm sure were much more evident in the book.
Yeah.
But the second, they do all kind of connect eventually, and at least marginally in some way. Like, the second story is about a 1930s gay composer who goes and works with a older, more well-known composer as kind of like an understudy. He, like, writes the music for the guy because he's so old. He can't really – all he can do is hum dirges at the guy, and he has to write them down.
There was a word for what he was that, like, I'd heard before and never knew what it meant.
Like a ghostwriter?
No. I knew what that meant. Can't remember.
Yeah, he is sort of like a ghostwriter, though.
Yeah. Anyway, go on. Sorry.
Start with an A.
Maybe.
Now, I can't remember, but the composer has a lover who's part of, like, he's like a much more well-off individual kind of part.
Sixsmith, I think.
Sixsmith. I was about to say, I can't remember his name, but I remember him having, like, a really interesting name.
Yeah, it was a cool name.
So the gay composer, I guess he's actually not gay. He's, like, bi, because he also sleeps with the old composer's 20-something-year-old wife to keep her entertained and stuff like that. But he actually tells Sixsmith about it in a letter, like, yeah, I'm sleeping with her, but, you know, just to get things going a little bit. He's like, women are so frivolous or something like that. But the composer and the old man have a falling out because he composes while he's working under this guy. He composes what he calls the Cloud Atlas Symphony, and he lets the old man hear it.
Amanuensis is the word. Sorry,
amanuensis. Okay, so he's the amanuensis of the old man. He lets the old man hear it, and the old man goes like, this is the same song I heard in my dream. This is my song. We wrote it together. It's like, you couldn't have done this without me. So you're going to release this song under my, like, as if I've composed it or something like that. And he also, the composer kind of says like, it's not, he kind of agrees with him at first. He's like, yes, it's not either of our songs. It's our song. And then he kind of, like, makes a pass at the old man. And the old man's like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm sorry. I thought we were having, like, a moment. And he's like, no, I'm not some fucking fairy or something like that. And then when he gets up to leave, he's like, you're not going anywhere. I am well known in the business. And all I have to do is tell everyone how, like, vile you are. And you'll never work in the music industry ever again.
Tell him that he's gay.
Yeah, basically. So he's like stuck between a rock and a hard place. And so, in desperation, he steals a gun out of the old man's cabinet. And he's threatens to shoot him if he doesn't let him leave and with his good reputation. And he's like, you type are all cowards. You won't pull the trigger. And he tries to grab the gun from him and he shoots him. Unfortunately, the old man lives and sends the police after the boy. And he holds up in a hotel run by Tom Hanks and finishes the Cloud Atlas Symphony before blowing his brains out. And he'd constantly been writing a Sixsmith, and Sixsmith went looking for him, trying to help him, and ended up finding the hotel and was walking up the stairs and heard the gunshot, so he never got to see. They had this moment where the composer told him he went up to the top of this church to watch the sunrise every day, or maybe it was a sunset. And Sixsmith went looking for him there, but the guy managed to see him first and duck out before Sixsmith sees him. And it kind of ties into the original story because while he was working for the gay composer, or while he was working for the old man composer, he had been going through the old man's library and found the diary of a dying Englishman on a trip back to America who turns out to be Mr. Ewing. Except he never gets to finish the story because the book is ripped in half and he can't find out where the other half of it is. And it turns out it's just being used as like the footstool for a wobbly bed. So that's the end of the composer. Jump forward for the next story. It's in the 1970s. Or no, there's a
2012.
Well, that's when.
Oh yeah, no, it was.
That's when. Yeah, the '70s is when. So Sixsmith pops up in the '70s again, except now he's much older, and he gets stuck in the elevator with a female black writer for a magazine called The Spyglass. She does like investigative journalism, and he's actually part of. He like has this long conversation with her where she finds out where he finds out she's an investigative journalist, and it's so hot in the elevator that she takes her jacket off and she's just wearing like a tank top, and she has a falling star or comet birthmark on her shoulder, and so did the gay composer that Sixsmith was in love with. So he mentions that and eventually tells her that he's got a story for her. But when she goes to visit his hotel to get the information from him, she finds that he's been shot to death by an assassin.
What?
Yeah. What? And turns out he worked for a nuclear power plant that was, is it California? Is that where it was?
I don't remember.
I can't remember. But there's some nuclear power plant that recently had some sort of problem. There was like a malfunction and it became huge news. And there was like a report. And it had been suppressed. And so she's digging up information about the nuclear power plant. She goes there and she meets another, like a nuclear physicist played by Tom Hanks. And he tells her that the report wasn't suppressed because it was bad. It was suppressed because it talked about how efficiently the plant would run and stuff like that. Turns out that Big Oil didn't want the nuclear power plant to work, so they were trying to sabotage it covertly. So there was a minor incident, but they wanted to have a much bigger incident so that nuclear power would be suppressed and everyone would just go back to Big Oil and coal and stuff like that. But they kill the nuclear physicist with an assassin and try to kill the reporter by running her off the road. But it turns out the head of security for the nuclear power plant was old friends with the reporter's father. So he
you might not have noticed because you would have fallen asleep while we were telling you the plot to Cloud Atlas. But the recorder died. So Danny is now going to finish.
All right. I'm going to try to do the last three stories in three sentences. I was talking about the 1970s one. Reporter discovers a potential plot in nuclear power. Tries to get assassinated like three times. Ends up bursting the bubble on the plot to the world.
I think you're cheating with a huge run-on sentence.
Lots of commas. It counts as one sentence.
Fair.
Okay, right. What was the next one?
2012 is next.
An old publisher gets asked for money by some gangsters. He then goes to his brother asking for money, who what's the word I'm looking for? Tricks him into signing himself into an old folks home. And then they do a Ocean 11 sort of breakout of the old folks home. I really wish I had talked about this story first because it's by far the most interesting.
Yeah, that's my favorite also.
But there's a one in the far, far future. I assume the world has been demolished by like nuclear fallout or something like that.
100 and something winters past 2341 or whatever.
2144.
Oh, wait.
44.
I forgot about the Chinese one. But there is
the replicant. You kind of talked about the replicant.
Yeah, there's a replicant future where
they're clones.
It's Jinteki. They're clones of humans that work in all of the food stands and I assume all of the stores and factories and stuff. And they're eventually released and told they would be ascending to something. I forget what. Turns out they're just ground down into protein and fed to other clones because it takes a lot of money to feed clones, so might as well recycle them. Oh. One clone finds out about this and launches a revolution that I guess destroys the world because 100 years after that, they now worship that clone that did the revolution. Sadie, I think her name was. And everyone is just goat farmers, and they speak a weird language, like it's Clockwork Orange or something like that.
Yeah, it's kind of like a cross between like Jamaican patois and, I don't know, like Southern bullshit.
Yeah, but yeah, the original religion is really interesting because you're either Sadie, you either worship Sadie or Old Georgie's come to take your soul. And the main character, Tom Hanks, keeps seeing Old Georgie, which is like this really weird talking. He looks like a Louisiana bog man, witch doctor with green skin.
Never explains why he keeps seeing them.
Yeah. It's because Old Georgie's come for your soul.
Yeah, clearly.
Zachary.
Some future deity.
Old Georgie's come for your soul, Zachary. Oh, you got to save me, Aunt May, or whatever her name was. But Zachary is Tom Hanks, and he's helping a futuristic woman to get to this summit where an ancient technology exists to contact space colonies.
Yeah, people that managed to make it off Earth before the war started.
And then they eventually do make it off Earth because the movie ends and Zachary is an old grandpa and he's telling his children stories and they're like, which one is Earth? And he goes like, that one, the blue one right there. And he points up to the sky.
It reminded me of the ending to Mass Effect 3, the old guy and the kid in the snow.
Yeah, but I really like the last story because at one point there's like she prophesizes, he talks to an old medicine woman because he has a bad dream. His bad dream is all the other five stories of Cloud Atlas. Mm-hmm. And he's like, something be wrong with me. And she's like, oh, old Georgia, come for your soul. And he's like, oh, heaven helps me. Sadie, help me, or something like that. And so she does this weird thing where she grabs his face and she like goes into like prophet vision. And every time she blinks, her eyes are like a different color. And there's like three lines of the prophecy. Like one is like, Bridge of Bronze, don't cross that bridge, or something like that. And then Hands of Bleeding, don't let go of that rope. And Enemy Sleeping, don't slit that throat, or something like that. They never address the first line in the movie. Apparently they do in the book. But when they're climbing the mountain, at one point he's pulling her up a cliff using a rope and pulley sort of system, and like one of the pegs falls out, so it like slips and cuts his hands, and he's bleeding, and old Georgie's going like, just drop that bitch. And then he sees his hands and they're bleeding, and the voice echoes in his head like, hands are bleeding, don't let go. So but after they get back, there's like these cannibals that sacked his village and killed everyone, including his cute little 7-year-old niece and stuff like that.
Well, they didn't kill her.
Oh, that's right. They killed everyone but her. But he finds his niece in his house, but there's also a bad guy sleeping in his house. And he hears the voice in his head like, enemy sleeping, don't slit that throat. But he does it anyways. He's like, God, I hate you cannibals so much. And then the other cannibals come looking for the sleeping cannibal. And he's like, oh, shit. If I hadn't slit his throat, he would have just gotten up, got on his horse, and left. But now they're like checking all the houses for him, and he has to run away from him. So I like the prophecy part of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like the way they talked. They talked real stupid. It was like watching Clockwork Orange again. I have no idea what anyone is saying, but I get the general idea of what's going on right now.
I did kind of like the meetup language.
Yeah.
Did you ever see the episode of Louis C.K. where the daughter watches Clockwork Orange?
I actually have never watched any Louis C.K.
He's like, you watch that?
It's a real horror show movie.
So, yeah, that was Cloud Atlas. That movie got canceled by like two different studios and only got made because Tom Hanks really liked it.
Oh my God.
The Matrix, the guys from The Matrix.
Wachowskis.
Yeah.
The former Wachowski brothers.
God, the
other Wachowski sisters.
The movie.
Both of them?
I really.
No, just the one, right?
No, they both went.
Oh, okay.
I had mixed feelings about the movie. It was 3 hours long.
It was very long.
It was very difficult to just sit through sometimes. I thought some of the stories were interesting. I definitely liked the Zachary story. I liked the futuristic Japanese or Chinese story too. But everything else was sort of boring. I guess the breaking out of the old folks home was kind of entertaining, but that guy is just so ugly to look at. Who was that?
I liked that one.
Who was the guy playing the old publisher? What was his name?
I don't know.
I've seen him in something else.
Jim
before.
Broadbent, maybe?
I think I've seen him in, like, he does like bit parts in TV shows and movies every once in a while.
Jim Broadbent?
That's what I said. Yeah. He played Slughorn in Harry Potter.
That's probably, that might be
maybe
what
Jim
I'm
Sturgis.
Of.
They're both in the movie in different parts.
Oh, fuck. I don't remember what the character's name is.
Everybody in this movie.
I think it might have been somebody in Jim Broadbent. Yeah, you're right. He was Timothy Cavendish. Cavendish.
Oh, Cavendish. I remember that name now.
Yeah.
Such a very Welsh name.
So it's based off of a novel, and I've heard the novel's really
good. Oh, the novel is supposed to be really good.
Yeah, I actually kind of want to read that novel.
I was actually watching, I was like reading some wiki articles just to figure out what the fuck was going on in this movie. And that's when I realized, like, oh, it's based on a book. No wonder it sucks so much.
Did you movie cult this one?
Yeah.
Did it take a while to download?
It did. And I accidentally... I don't think I missed out on much, but I accidentally downloaded some sort of Russian version of the movie because it was all in English and it wasn't even subtitled in Russian. But anytime there was like words like in the futuristic Chinese-Japanese story, there's a couple of times where like little computer screens come up with articles and it's like all in Russian. And I was like, shit, I hope I didn't have to read that.
I estimate we got like at least probably like 2 minutes max on this before it dies again.
All right. Check in 2 weeks for episode 100. Jean-Claude Van Damme-a-thon.
Damn.
Yep.
Yeah. Anybody check the email?
No emails.
Imagine that.
I don't think Ish actually checked it. He just
I do. I keep it on my phone.
Is there any tweets?
No tweets. I keep that on my
Facebook
phone too.
Facebook pokes.
We haven't had a Facebook like in a long time.
We actually didn't do too bad on downloads while we were out for some reason.
Nice. Yeah, absent makes the heart grow fonder.
There it's like go. It doesn't matter if we make episodes at all. We still
get downloads?
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.
Email us, Facebook us. You probably know where to find us if you're listening.
Fuck
to
it. Bye.